and we're in store for lots of great things that's coming up here. Last week, the message was about end time revival. I was thinking maybe there might be some more I was going to say, but the Lord's led me to do something else. It's really, the message really does tie into it. We're facing this time of all kinds of upheaval and times of shaking and just all the things that the Bible talks about is going to happen as we come to the close of this present age. And to prepare us and have us ready to live out that time and move into a great time of the millennial kingdom, which we're all going to be a part of. You understand that?
Yeah.
You know it says we're going to rule and reign with him. Right?
That's right.
That's on the earth.
That's right.
He's coming back here.
That's right.
Right? He's coming back here.
Right.
So there's some grand things that if we just keep reminding ourselves and connecting to, we're gonna do a lot better as all this junk happens in the world. We won't get taken down from it. We won't get focused onto it. Mm-hmm. Though we will address things that need to be addressed in this world, we won't allow the things of this world to get us down, because we won't be looking to a man. We won't be looking to a system. We will be looking to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what he does, who he is, what his promises are. Amen? And those are the things that will sustain us through this time. And if you think that, and if I think that I'm just ready for everything that's coming down the pike, I'm sorry. We need to continue to deepen our relationship with Christ. You get this?
Yes.
The scripture we're going to go to is in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. And while you're getting there, I'm going to use this as an illustration, I guess. It's kind of noisy. In the room, there's people talking and all kinds of confusions going on in the living room, and you hear your favorite song come on the radio, right? What do you do when you have all of that noise, but you really want to hear that song? What do you do?
Block it away.
What do you do?
Block everything else.
You're going to be blocking everything as much as you can. You're going to try to block out that. You're going to try to block out that extra noise, aren't you? What else are you probably going to do?
Turn up the volume.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You're going to deliberately go and turn that knob to get, so you're making sure you're hearing that song that means so much to you, right? Jesus should mean more than anything to us in the whole world. For what he's done for us, for God so loving us that he gave himself to die on the cross for us, and then to live in us so that we could walk with him while we're still here on this earth. Wow. So he really deserves all of what we can really give to him, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about here, because we need to be rooted.
Yes.
Rooted and built up in Christ. If we're going to live in the age that we're living in right now, instead of trying to adjust to everything, we need to have a deeper hearing relationship with Jesus, a deeper loving relationship with Jesus, a deeper everything that we can with Jesus. And we have not arrived, no, there's not one person here who has arrived at that, the most deep relationship that you could have with your God and Savior. Anybody want to disagree with me on that? So there's room to grow. In other words, right? There's room to grow. And the Lord wants us to grow there. Amen?
Amen.
So this is what we're going to look at here. You know why I bring my Bible up, just because I want to have the Bible up here. But you know how bad this Bible is, right? In terms of it's falling apart. So I put everything on here. So I don't want you to think I'm just reading off of some piece of paper. I'm reading out of this, the Word of God, that which gives us a light under our feet. Right?
Right.
A lamp under, light under our feet. Alright? So here, I'm going to read this now. This is Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. How did you and I receive Him?
By faith.
By faith. Isn't that right?
Yes.
By faith we are saved. Right?
Yes.
And that not of ourselves. It was a gift of God.
Yes.
So if we're going to now, after coming to Christ, we're to walk in Him, how's that going to be done?
By faith.
By faith.
By faith.
Right? Isn't that what it says? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so also walk in Him. God will enable us to walk the life that He wants us to walk. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Can any of us say, oh, it's just too hard to walk with Jesus? Huh? We can't say that, can we? Because the Lord will give us everything we need for life and godliness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He will help us through the times where we're struggling in our minds, or in our emotions, or in our reactions to situations that are going on. If we turn to Him, right? If we acknowledge Him. I don't know how many times I have failed that this week with things that happen, and then my response. It's getting better, though.
It's getting better.
It's happening faster that I notice that I'm not moving in faith as much as I should be. You know, we had a thing that happened where the tenant of our daughter's apartment that we're going to be moving into, he started balking about moving out, and that he was going to force Libby into evicting me, which she didn't really want to do. And so it looked like things were really going to grind to a halt, and we had to, you know, and Kathy and I, oh my gosh, what's going on here? You know how you can start to go, what's going on? You start to question. And then we connected back with the Lord. See, isn't this what's important?
Yes.
Is our trust in God, our faith in God. No matter what happens. Now, this is one little thing, and there's all kinds of things that happen to every single one of you as time goes by. And it's important for us to make sure that our rooting in Christ is going deeper. No, I trust you, God. I am convinced of your love for me and your care for me. And I don't understand why this is happening, but I trust you. Isn't that important?
Yes.
I trust. You know, well, what a simple message here. But we all struggle with that, don't we?
Yes.
So, things are, it looks like they're starting to work out, by the way. So, just so you know. And he goes on and says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and empty lies after the tradition of men, after the principles of the world, and not after Christ. Now, it was really kind of cool earlier this week when the Lord had spoken to me about being rooted and grounded in him. Kathy read to me right soon after I had gotten that message from the Lord for today, and she said, she didn't know what the Lord had spoken to me yet. She read me Marie's devotions, and Marie is doing a devotion for 8 straight days on being rooted in Christ, right? Being rooted and grounded in Christ. So that's an amazing thing. And the song that Reggie had played was all about living a life that, you know, that has some meaning, right? Living a life that, you know, that the life doesn't pass us by, right? So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So I was thinking about, you know, I guess you farmers or you people that plant, right? Maybe you can help me out. But with the to be rooted, isn't there like a main root, like called a tap root?
Yes.
Right? There's a tap root.
Yes.
And that's the one that goes, I guess, the deepest. It's right in the center, I guess, of the plant. And then you have all these other roots that branch out from that. Am I correct about that? So you have this tap root. Well, guess what the taproot is for us?
Jesus
himself.
Yes.
You know, we have out on the sign out here, Word of God Christian Church, Christ-centered.
Right.
He's our taproot.
Yes.
He should be the taproot of our existence here. Isn't that right?
Yes.
It's not all that's going on around us. It's not about church, it's about Christ. And when Christ is really, really at the center of the people's hearts, then the church comes together in a really wonderful kind of way. Isn't that true?
Yes.
We're not looking for position or place. We're not prideful. We can handle when somebody says something that maybe displeases us a little bit. We're not little babies. We can handle things. Well, most of the time.
Thank you.
Right? Most of the time. Because we're human, we fall on our faces a lot. But with all of us, we give one another grace to be able to fall on our face and get back up again.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you. Was it Peter that said to Jesus, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive our brothers?
7 times?
And I'll bet you Peter thought he was doing 7 times, not just once, but 7 times. Boy, I'll give the person 7 times. And what was Jesus' response?
7 times.
Oh, no. 70 times 7. 490? I hope he wasn't talking about one day. In one day, right? Oh, my goodness gracious. But that's true, though, isn't it? That...
And that's hard.
And it is. And yes, it's a hard thing. But these are things that, you know, if we're going to head into these times that we're heading into, then the little things need to fall aside.
Yes.
Yep.
We're a family.
Yeah.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we're sticking together.
Yep.
And that we don't get too upset over one thing or another. Right?
Right.
that are, we let the roots go deeper, right? There was a, I wrote down here, our roots also has a thing about history, right? Our history. Anybody remember the TV show years ago called Roots?
Oh, yeah.
Right? About the... Kinche. What was his name?
Kunta Kinte.
It was about him, right?
Yeah.
And it was all about his roots and about all the people before him and his family and what happened to them on the when they got caught into slavery and brought over to America, and it was all about that whole history. And history, the history of us, we have a history with God.
Yes.
So when we're talking about our roots growing deeper in God, there's a history there that we can go back and depend on.
Right.
Think about that. The history that you have in Jesus.
Yes.
How he came and loved you and touched you and brought you through lots of things. Because that really helps us when we're facing something right now that we're wondering where he is. Why haven't you dealt with this yet, Lord? Yeah?
Yeah?
Okay. So, our roots grow deeper by things that I'm not going to talk about today, but that we all know. Prayer, worship. You know, we're worshiping and we're singing one of the songs, and all of a sudden something just happened inside my heart. And I just really just really gave myself to God. And when those kinds of things happen, you realize, I'm not really just thinking about singing the words. The spirit of the word is what, of the words that we sing, will grab a hold of you, right? And then you're not thinking about anything else, but your whole focus is on the person you're singing to. Yeah?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we can go around and we can sing songs about the Lord and still not really be making the connection with him that we need. I mean, it's better than not singing that.
Yeah.
It's better than singing AC/DC or something. But so it's in steps, right? That we in steps, we move closer to God or we don't move closer to God. And singing, and we can sing without really allowing our hearts to really go into any kind of depth in what the words are saying to us. Because most of the songs we sing, we know the words. And so it just comes out. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is the depth of things is so, so important if we're going to be more rooted, so that when the storms of life are coming through, that hurricane wind force is not going to topple the tree of us over.
That's right.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the roots are deep enough to hold everything in place. And there's lots of shaking going on.
Yes,
that's right.
And there's none of us here that are exempt from that. Because we're living in a world that's being shaken for lots of good reasons.
That's right. Yep.
And so we need to be people that are light in the dark place.
Amen.
That are rooted and grounded instead of having just a few little tiny roots with no taproot. Right? That when the storms of this life come along, there's a great fall. That's not going to happen to any of us, is it? But there's no guarantees if we're not allowing ourselves to really be rooted in the Lord. Just because you're hearing this message and I'm speaking this message doesn't do a darn thing for any of us, and unless we're doing something about unless we're responding to it. You know, when you and I hear things like this, one of the things that we have to do is, God, I want to be one of those people that continue to have my roots in you keep going. We've got to ask God, right? We have not because we ask not. We need to ask God. God, I want to be that kind of person. That's at least another step in the right direction. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So, we're going to go past that. All right. So I want to. There's all these things that we would very quickly be able to, off the top of our head, say are things that really help us to get rooted. The worship, like I was saying, the worship and prayer and loving, being a loving, kind person, trusting God. These are all things that help us to deepen our walk with God. But I want to talk about three other things today. Okay? So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Now this is what we can't do, this first one. What we can't do and expect to be rooted in Christ. Okay? So this is a negative side of the thing. This is what we can't do. If you and I really want to be more rooted and built up in Christ, then this is the thing that we want to make sure we're not doing. This is what it says. 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does that mean that we're not supposed to love butterflies and other people and beautiful trees? That's not what it's talking about, is it? It's not this extreme thing. We're talking about the way of the world is what this is talking about. We shouldn't hate our country or hate the world or hate the things that are in the world. We shouldn't like what's of the world's system. Okay? For all that is in the world, and then he explains this. For all that's in the world, he doesn't make a long list of physical things here, does he? He says, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes.
Wow.
The things you want. That you see and you want. Right? And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the scripture, Jesus says, we're not to be of the world, though we're in the world. And Jesus said, Father, I don't want them to be taken out of the world. I just don't want them to be of the world. And he asked for the Father's protection of us so that we just don't keep giving in to the things of this life that isn't really of the Father. It's not the way that the Father wants things to be. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's like keeping up with the Joneses. That's the way of the world, right?
Yeah.
Sit there and compare, you know, wow, look what they have, and we don't. And you know, it can be a bad thing, can it? Mm-hmm. Always striving for something else, something tangible in the world, when it's love and relationships and peace. And joy that we have in our relationship with God and relationship with one another. Isn't that what's more important?
Yes.
That's what's really important.
Yes.
It isn't the amount of money that we can earn. Money is not evil. The love of money is what's evil. When you or I put money above our relationship with God or one another, that's when it becomes evil. It's the love of money. It's not money. And God blesses some people to have quite a bit of it. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's funny, you know, people want to talk about rich people, you know, denounce rich people, but if a bunch of money came to you, you'd take it. Is there anybody here that wouldn't take several million dollars if it was offered to you? I'll bet you every single person in this room would do that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That would be okay if you're not in love with that money, that you would allow that to take away your friendship relationships or your time to be with the Lord. Yeah.
Right, if we tithe right off the top.
Tithe right off the top. Look at that.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
But
sometimes $1 million isn't enough.
Yeah.
You get the taste and the fever.
Yeah.
The feel.
Yeah.
You can go astray.
Right.
Yeah.
That lust never ends. Right. You ever notice that about any kind of lust? You lust after something, and you get it, and you know what? You want more of it. You want more and more and more of it. That's what happens, isn't it, Jack?
I know a couple who they're not rich, but they're well off. However, with their money, they are always giving some away to somebody
that's
less fortunate.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
So that's okay.
That is great. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's not the love of money.
No.
Because they're
giving it out, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's right. So it isn't, you know, the evil isn't the money, it's
right.
What you're doing with it, how you approach it and stuff. Okay, all right, that's one thing, what it's not. If we're going to be rooted in Christ, we can't love the world and the things of this world. Right? So that's important for us to get. All right, number two. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And it's verse 23. And it says this: whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Whatever we're led to do, what we do in work, the friendships that are made, whatever's going on in our life, whoever and whatever God brings into through our experiences, we're to engage in that and do it heartily.
Yes.
Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
And do it as unto the Lord. Well, what does that mean exactly?
We work for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. What would that mean? To do something as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. What? Go ahead.
I think of it as finding the will of God and then doing it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it is? If you're at work, you bring the Lord into your workplace. Yeah? Lord, what's the best thing? Kathy and I were school teachers. So, you know, Lord, how do I really reach this student here that he or she's having a problem in such and such an area? Well, how can I, you know, get the Lord involved? I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I get the Lord involved. I try to get His will. I try to get His wisdom in order to be able to do the very best thing in the situation that I'm in. Right? So we do things, and it's not just about coming to church. Is it?
No.
It's no matter whatever we do, we're to do it as unto the Lord.
Yes.
Even the little stuff.
Yes. Whatever it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the little things that go on in your and my life mean something to God, because we end up getting rooted more deeply when we're when we're including him into all these aspects of our life. Well, I know how to do that, so I don't need you for that, God. I can do this on my own. Some things get to be fairly routine where, we've done it. God's helped us to know how to do that, and we're going to continue to use those things. It isn't. You understand what I'm saying? It's involving God to inspire us.
Yes.
Every day.
Okay.
Inspired us. Well, we're not going to be inspired if we're not reaching to Him.
Right.
I'm not going to get electrified if I don't put my finger in the socket. The light doesn't go on if the plug doesn't go in. Right?
Yes.
And that's that would have to be a very conscious thought and action on my part.
Let's hope so.
Right?
I'm so glad we came up here.
Okay. That song that I wrote it down when Reggie put it up there. Show me how to spend a life.
Mm. Yes.
Oh my gosh, when I saw that, I went, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Because that's exactly what this number two is all about. Mm. Show me how to spend a life, God.
Right.
Show me how to live a life of excellence. Show me how to live a life that you approve of.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of just bouncing through life, like Reggie was saying, just passing the time.
Yeah.
What's really great about this, that I love about God, it doesn't matter if you're riding a motorcycle or if you're doing some work in the garden, or if you're washing dishes, or you're talking to your spouse, or talking to a friend. No, it doesn't matter what it is in life. And our attitude is to have do it as unto the Lord. It's going to be a greater life of excellence that we're going to experience. And boy, doesn't the world need the light of that.
Yes.
Especially in a dark time.
Yes.
People that are sober about the things that are going on, but joyful because they got Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We know the outcome. We know what's going to happen by the end of everything. It might not be a great thing. It's not going to be, tiptoeing through the tulips. But we're going to get through, aren't we? Because we know in whom we believe.
Right.
All right. So this leads me to the last one. I want you to go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. So this point really goes with the second point. I could have just had it as a sub one, but I made it. So thank you for what it is. All right, Luke chapter 19, verse 13. One verse. That's it. One verse. So pay attention. You can do it for one verse. It says this: and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Now, not of beef or no. It's talking about money in this case, because this is King James Version, right? So, and delivered them money. And he said to them, occupy until I come. Is that how it's read there? Yeah. Okay. Occupy until I come. Now the word occupy in the Greek means do business.
Oh, okay.
Be active. Do the things that have to be done in this life. And like I said in number two, draw the Lord into it. Right? Because we want to do God's business, don't we? Now that word, that Greek word, I can't pronounce it, but the word is the Greek word is the word that we get the word pragmatic from. What's it mean to be pragmatic?
Practical.
to be practical, to do something that's practical. It makes sense. Right?
Yes.
Any other way you could describe that?
Invest.
Yes, investing is another thing that comes to mind with this. When you're doing business, one of the things that we might do is invest in something. And Jesus wants our investment. Okay?
Sowing into someone's life.
Mm-hmm. Taking time to get to know someone, taking time to create that friendship. And when God gives the green light, something will come up and you get a chance to share. Isn't that right? Share the gospel.
Use your gifts that God gave you.
Yeah. Because God gave everybody gifts. Every single one of us have different kinds of gifts. Right? So, let me see if there's anything else. So, occupy means to do business until he comes, to trade, to have practical action until he comes. We're not just supposed to go out and live so apart from one another. We need to make the contact, don't we? There needs to be one of the things that in order for our spiritual life to deepen is that we have interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm. One day at a time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Each day. We have to have interaction with one another. It doesn't just happen. God didn't set it up this way. That it's just me and Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
We're not spiritual lone rangers. We're not.
That's right.
God has it set up that we need the gifting, the insight that other people have, so that we get rounded out better. This is, if we're going to grow deeper in Christ, not only do we have that relationship with Jesus himself, we need the interaction with other people of the Lord.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
And sometimes people outside of Christ can really teach us a lot of things too.
Yeah.
What not to do and what to do sometimes. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So that's an important thing. We need to realize it isn't just off in a prayer closet that we grow in our depth of God. That's the point really of the message. That yes, our depth of relationship, the rootedness is going to come when we're praying, when we're worshiping, when we're reading our Bibles. But it also comes in that what happens when we relate to other people. I found out a lot of things about myself from you guys.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
A lot. And you know, and I hope that you have learned from other people in here and from other, you know, people in other churches and other places. Right?
Yes.
We need that for us to grow, to have that depth of relationship with God comes in all of those different kinds of ways. I don't want us to think it only comes when I get my special private time with God. That has to be there. But this has to be here.
That's what the other little roots are around.
Yeah. That's right. You need all of that. Jesus is the tap root.
Yeah.
But we need all the rest of those rootings as well. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so I have a five little scriptures, real tiny things. I'm just going to do it real fast. Okay, so for us who are to be people of practical action. And that's what, one of the reasons why we've been starting up the ministry thing, right? That Chuck and Debbie had mentioned, and you're signing up and you want to help and have some practical action, right? Here are some things that we need to be able to do. Outside of our prayer life, outside of our worship time with God, outside of our private time reading the Word, how about this? Matthew 28:19, making disciples. So for among us here who've already accepted Christ, we're having a Bible study. This wasn't all planned. This wasn't planned by any of us people. God has been working, the Holy Spirit has been working to put all these things together, and now they're going to start playing themselves out in a very practical kind of way, which needs to happen. Right?
First of all, we're not that smart to put it all together.
No, we're not. We are not that smart. And we're not that devious to try to say, hey, you bring this up and then I'll say this and it'll look like God's really working here.
This was a church.
Huh? That's right.
It was a dumber church.
It was dumber. We were called the dumber church, right? But isn't that true? And there, sad to say, there are things that are happening in churches that where it's devious. I won't get into that. I wanted to bring up something here. I almost forgot. I wanted you guys to know this. Talking about the things that are happening in the world and dark times that we could be facing and all that kind of stuff. Kathy mentioned this to me this morning, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I think we need to know that this might be coming down the pike. All right? The IRS is targeting a group called Christians Engage. That's their title. Listing that, so they're going after this church group called Christians Engage, and this is why they're doing it. They're doing it because the organization's belief in prayer and biblical values are among the reasons for rejecting Christians Engage from tax exempt status. You hear that? The IRS is rejecting this group from having tax-exempt status because of the organization's beliefs in prayer and biblical values.
Isn't that all of us here?
Yeah.
Churches.
How can you do that?
So, I'm just saying, that, and this is in quotation marks, this is directly out of the IRS's suit against this particular group.
Wow.
So, you know, whether down the pipe we lose tax exempt status or not, that's neither here nor there, although we will feel the effect of that, the financial effect of that.
Religion is a 501c3 organization. Religion is exempt by the law.
Right.
So what are they doing?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the law is one thing, the execution of the law is something different.
Exactly.
And if we understand that, like when the government starts to not obey the law that's written, they'll get away with it unless people say something.
Well, they already did. We won't go with the Supreme Court saying you can't do that. Biden says, "Oh yes, I am," and he let the CDC override the Supreme Court. So I
think it's
already
place. And that's what. This is one of the things that I want to say right now. We cannot allow those kinds of things. What I'm reading here, what Kelly just mentioned there, get to us so that we just get mad and we just get all upset. And but we can, as citizens of the country, talk against that. Wait a minute, you're not following your own rules here. we should, you need to stand up. I'm going to actually get to that. Let me get to it. So one of the things to deepen is that we need to be ready and aware to make disciples of the nations, right? Boy, I really get off on the side topic. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, I didn't write it down. Can somebody read me 1 Timothy 5:8? I know what it's about, but it's about providing for your own.
His wife is driven away.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
If anyone has... Oh, never mind.
Thank you, Rick.
Say it again.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yep.
If you don't work to make money, to provide for your family, so and that you could help other people, you're worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. Oh, well, I guess maybe if we're just sitting around not working. What's happening?
I've seen that a long
time. You see,
time
it?
Before.
Practical. It's practical stuff. It makes common sense, right? Something as what we would say is so common sense and practical that, well, sure, you got to provide for your family. God says, you've got to do that. And if we're not listening to God, how can our relationship with Him get any better? Even in little things like this. Do you see this? All right, how about this? Ephesians 6:4 says that we are to bring up our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. These are practical things. Right? Practical things that we need to do. And if we're doing that, and we're doing these other things, and we're praying, and we come together and worship on Sundays together with one another, and we're reaching out to friends and family, and we're sharing, all those things are going to make our root system in Christ just get better and better.
That's right.
All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We fight against spiritual forces.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're not here just to receive all the benefits that God has for us. We're in this life. He didn't take us out. Jesus said, I don't want you to take him out of the world. Well, why not?
Right.
Darn, it would be nice to be up there already.
Yes!
Why not? Because we have a job here.
Yeah.
We have business to do.
Yes.
Purpose.
We're to do business until He comes. There are things that we're here for. Mm-hmm. Not just to pass the time.
That's right.
After we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people that need to get saved. All of us can help one another grow in becoming disciples of His.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
By the way we act, by how we interact with one another, right?
Yes.
This is what sober, righteous, rooted people in Christ are going to need to do to get through what we're going to be having to get through. And a lot of it is going to be some spiritual battle.
Yeah. Like every day.
Yeah. Every moment.
All the time.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Oh, well, I can do all these other things, but, you know, this spiritual stuff is kind of spooky. I don't know about that. No, we are to take authority in the Spirit on things. When you see evil... when you see evil things going on, and like Kelly was saying, you see evil in the government. Oh, well, God will take care of it. No! We are to be praying about those things. We are to be interceding for the soldiers that, and the people that are still left over there in Afghanistan.
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes.
Aren't we part of what God wants to happen?
Yes.
We are to be interacting.
Yes.
In the way that He shows us to interact. Mm-hmm. We don't just casually just say, well, God will take care of it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a truth. But He does it through us too, doesn't He?
Yes.
He can do whatever He wants to sovereignly. But He calls on us. Don't take them out of the world. I want them in the world because I want them to be engaged in this world. To step against, to fight against the forces of darkness. Why did He give us a spiritual armor if we're not supposed to use it?
Right?
He wants us to be engaged in this thing.
Yes.
Well, I don't have the time for that. I got this and that to do. I don't have that. No. If we're going to have a rooting, these things have to happen.
Yes.
In our lives. God, help me to see how all of this can happen in my life. Help me. I don't know how that all comes together the right way, but I want to be willing to do Your will.
Yeah.
And it sure seems like it's part of God's will, isn't it?
Yep.
That we be this kind of people. And then, standing up against evil. Not just in our prayer closet. Standing up where we can. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody came through the door and started picking on Marie, just walked over to her and started shoving at her, is there anybody here that would just allow that to happen?
No.
Will we just say, oh God, please protect her. Intervene, God. Intervene and save Marie from this. And we're watching what's going on. I don't think there's one person here. Unless you're too scared or weak or something. But I don't think there's one person here that would want to say, hey, stop that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
And get up and get in between that person and Marie. Right?
Yes.
We're required by God not to just be in the prayer closet. That we certainly need that. But we need to be there for our brothers and sisters. For people that are oppressed. For the helpless. Mm-hmm. When we can be, when we're directed by God to do it.
Yes?
Yes.
Some of it's common sense. If something like that happens, I don't think I would really be praying, God, should I? While she's getting beat up, I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to pray. God, do you want me to go over there? No, I think I have enough understanding of the heart of God and the will of God that I'm going to get right over there.
That's pragmatic. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Practical. It's the right thing. It's common sense to do. And there's lots of common sense things that we as God's people need to do in this world besides pray. I'm not denigrating prayer, because boy, if that isn't there, it doesn't matter what we do.
That's right.
If it isn't what God wants us to do, it isn't going to make a darn bit of good what we're doing. Right?
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the heart of God and the will of God that has to be involved. And the more our roots are going deeper, the greater that sense is there for us to do it like that. Yeah.
Remember back in the 70s, how shocked we all were? There was a woman on the street that was being beaten and raped. And 20 people watched from their apartment.
Yeah, just watch.
And just watch. Said, well, I don't want to go down there. I might get hurt.
Yeah.
And that woman was horribly beaten.
Yeah.
And nobody acted.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have God within them.
No.
They didn't have the root deep enough.
Right.
That way today.
Exactly. And we have to be that kind of people.
Well, you see it in New York.
Things are coming up. What's that?
You see it in New York every day. Somebody gets a knife or hit, and people on the sidewalk in front of everybody. People walk around.
Yep, that happens.
They have no morals.
So, there's a lot here. There's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of different ways that God is going to want us to approach being light in a dark place. And in all of those approaches, our relationship is going to deepen if we're listening to God and we do what he tells us to do. Some things are very pragmatic, and we can act very quickly. Other things are going to take some prayer. Everything should be bathed in prayer.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I just pray, Lord, as we finish this here this morning, that you would bless us to be a people that will know how to live. Lord, that we would, everything that we would do would be done heartily as unto the Lord. Not for men, not to impress anybody, but to do it for you. To do it for your honor, for your glory. To do what is right. We thank you, Lord, today. Be with us so that we can, as we've accepted you in our life, Lord, in faith, that we would walk with you the same way. Glory to you, God. Glory to the Lord of heaven. Glory that you're coming back here again. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.